Welcome to Healthcare IT Today. I'm John Lynn, together with a special guest host, Shushmit Paul. The world of technology and healthcare are ever-changing in new and novel ways, and that's why we love this stuff. So join us as we discuss the latest healthcare and health IT news, meshed together in new ways which help generate ideas and new perspectives. Plus, we'll have a little fun along the way. On today's episode, we'll be talking about how to better enable your remote workforce. And today's episode is sponsored by Dell Technologies, creating technologies that drive human progress. Learn more about Dell Technologies' suite of healthcare solutions at delltechnologies.com/healthcare. And be sure to follow the show on Twitter at the hashtag HITSM and my personal account at TechGuy and the Dell Technologies account at DellEMCHealth. Plus, check out our 14 years of health IT blog content at healthcareittoday.com. So the first time we've ever had a guest host, welcome, Shushmit.
Yeah, thank you, John. I'm very glad to be here. I'll try to impersonate like Collins and make it engaging. But I'm very, very glad to be here. I'm looking forward to doing this with you.
That's awesome. Well, it should be a great conversation. I think the remote workforce has become an important topic for everyone. So let's hop right in. How can we really be as productive remotely as we were in the workplace? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and it kind of brings about the complexity of the topic. I was reading an article from on CNBC that just recently that said if productivity is measured by the number of hours we are putting in, then yes, we are. It seemed like on an average, people are putting in 3 more hours of work since the middle of March of this year. But you know, as you know, that it's productivity is not the same as number of work hours, and so how productive or how much are you getting done is the real question, and it just depends on a lot of different things, and different people have based on how much we have been accustomed to it can also have different levels of productivity. So we, for one, I know you might be in the same boat, but I've been working remote for the past almost 7 years now. And, my personal experience, it took me some time to figure things out as to how do I effectively collaborate with my teammates who are geographically dispersed? How do I have a meaningful engagement with my customers without physically being in the room with them? So I think it's definitely possible, but it requires a combination of things. You know, technology certainly has a pretty big role to play. But beyond the technology, there is definitely an aspect of my home office environment. I mean, can I get the same level of focused and uninterrupted work time in my home as I get in my office? Obviously, I have my kids running around and there are Netflix streaming and video games being played. At the same time, I'm having my video conferencing. So how does that home office setup enable me to be productive? We also need to think about the whole training aspect of it, right? Not everyone is up to speed with all the tools, and we ourselves are using at least 3 different types of collaboration tools, you know, some Zoom, some Microsoft Teams, maybe WebEx. And so just the training aspect is important. And then another really important one is the process. And I think organizationally, do you have the right processes to enable a remote workforce? And it goes into things like, do I have a IT help desk that can help me remotely? Do I have a self-service portal that I can go and get answers to my most frequently asked questions? So I think it's a combination of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's some great points. Your comments about the article, are we working so much more at home? And makes me wonder, is that just going to lead to burnout? And if people are burnt out, does that actually reduce their productivity? So I think we have to find an interesting balance there. Much like you, I've actually been working from home for about 10 years. So I've seen firsthand where it's more productive or less. And I'll say right now, it's even harder to be productive, as you mentioned, because my kids are home. In the other 9 years that I've been doing, a lot of the times they were at school. So that impacts the productivity as well. But I just add one other thing when it comes to productivity at home versus work, and that is around creative projects. So it's one thing when you're in an execution stage and the deliverables are clear and you need to execute on something. But when you're trying to create and trying to ideate around a solution, I find that it's actually much harder virtually. It's not impossible for sure, but you don't have the same sort of creative juices when you're in the same room. You can almost talk over each other when you're in person and still understand each other, where in the virtual, you can't really do that. And so I think that's one of the challenges we see with the at-home environment that maybe is a little harder from the creative side.
Yeah, no, very, very true. And I've spoken to a lot of my colleagues, particularly there are a few who are onboarding new team members right now, and they're going through this onboarding process. And it makes a lot of difference to be in a room and be face to face. I know we have been trying to use video to get over some of those non-verbal aspects of communication. And it may work if it's like you and me sitting and two people trying to have a conversation, but if it's like five people trying to brainstorm, then I think you're right. It's a whole different ballgame, and obviously it becomes more challenging.
Definitely. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to talk about here for sure. You know, as we kind of move forward, like you brought up something really interesting about what's your home workspace look like. So let me ask you, and maybe I'll start even with the answer, but does the device make a difference in the at-home work environment? And to me, it's all the difference. I think it's interesting that when someone goes from a work environment that has a nice desk with a great chair and, you know, there may be multiple monitors or other things like that, they can be more effective. And then they say, oh, well, I could just work at home and do the same thing. And then they're sitting on a stool at a counter with a laptop without a real mouse. You know, it's like that really matters, not to mention that the laptop doesn't have all the applications of the desktop at work. And so, you know, I think those are some of the challenges people face when they haven't implemented the right at-home environment. What's your take on it?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think to your point, it's one thing to work one day from home or maybe take that Friday off and work from home, where you could be sitting on your couch or in your backyard and just do some work. But it's a whole different thing to be able to work 5 days a week and put 8 to 10 hours a day from home and be equally productive. And a lot of these things that you are mentioning is that the home office setup, whether you are sit or work, or I mean, ideally you should stand and work periodically, right? And so do you have a desk that supports it, right? And we've seen some of those, like I myself, when I started to set up my home office, I think in a couple of months, I figured that I got to be able to stand and work. So I bought a Varidesk for myself. Nice. But yeah, I mean, it just helps you, you know, stretch your legs a little bit. But coming back to that core, what is your core setup, and how does the device then, along with the accessories, help you to be truly productive? There's a couple of aspects to it. One is, you know, as organizations think about this as enabling a remote workforce, what kind of devices are you providing to your employees? And is that device ready to, does it have the level of apps and access to resources to make them truly productive? And that's a big thing because, if I look at general industry stats, if you look at help desk calls, 50% of the help desk calls today across the industry is for issues related to VPN and issues related to password resets and application access. Those three things typically makes up for the biggest volume of calls that you get. And if you imagine every call is a user who is unable to do something and is unproductive from a user standpoint, and it's also a workload or a burden on your IT help desk staff. So the lesser number of calls, the better. And so As you think about the device, yeah, you got to have a device that is that has the right specs. But beyond that, the level of access you have to applications and the level of self-service you put in is equally important. I will mention just a couple of points around the device itself. Dell has been, we have had a connected workplace program for a very long time internally within Dell Technologies. I know when I joined the organization 12 years back, we were already on a path towards remote workforce. And to the extent that, you know, it started with every employee getting a laptop versus a desktop. Now, what kind of laptop you get and what are the specs typically should depend on your work profile or your persona. So the company did a lot of work in defining personas. Now, I, for one, my work profile is such that I use, at least prior to what is happening right now, at least all of last year, I probably traveled around 60 to 70% of my time. And so I needed a system which is thin and light and is it has connectivity and the security. I'm not running any very compute intensive workload, but I need my standard workloads like my Outlook, my PowerPoint presentation, my Excel worksheets to load fast, so responsive. And so based on all of those things, I know that internally within Dell, there was a big effort to define personas and tie users to personas. So my persona as a sales and business development, you know, employee, it was meant that I have a thin and light device from a spec perspective, maybe even a mid-range processor, but with a high RAM so that my device is fast. Also, some of the smaller things you can do there as you think about a remote workforce, things like Intel has something called the Intel vPro, which lets you manage these devices remotely. A small investment when you buy the PC, but what it enables you is more control on the device, particularly when employees are working remote. Things like remote updates and patches, out-of-band management, right? Even when the device is powered off, it is possible for a Dell IT help desk employee to log in remotely to the device to service it. And so kind of goes back into the selection of device and some of the factors to.
Yeah, I love that you did personas. I mean, we do that in marketing a lot. So it's fascinating to think about doing that. And, you know, so many IT departments that I talk to go around and just implement one device because they only want to support one and they want it interchangeable and the support structure to be easier. But, you know, you need to get a little more personalized with it, especially with the explosion of devices. I think there's another angle that we haven't even talked about that's really interesting as well, and that's around security. I can already hear my CISOs just... their heads are exploding as all these devices go on these home networks. So I think that's where a virtual desktop environment is really great, so that the virtual desktop remains pristine and HIPAA compliant and all of the things that we need in healthcare, while their kid may, you know, sneak the device and start playing some video game or watching YouTube on it. So I think that's another angle that the device really matters. So yeah, it's a great discussion. And if you're just tuning in right now, you're listening to Healthcare IT Today with John Lin and special guest host Shushmit Paul. We're excited to have the first time we've ever had a guest host here, so this is pretty exciting. And I want to just take a moment to thank our sponsor, Dell Technologies. If your organization is finding the shift to remote work challenging, Dell Technologies can help. The ability to fully support a remote workforce is essential to maintaining business continuity. And man, if that's not the understatement of the decade, right, in this time. Well, it turns out well over half of their global team works remotely. We've been talking about that with Shishmid. So really, Dell Technologies can offer you know-how to implement your own flexible digital workplace. You can learn more about Dell Technologies and how they can help you at delltechnologies.com/healthcare. So, I mean, it's great. Yeah, I mean, what a great tie-in that you guys are eating your own dog food, right? And you have your own remote workforce that you've been working on that provide some great experiences for you. But, you know, as we talk about this, what do you need to deliver access to applications remotely? What are you seeing customers in healthcare in particular, you know, doing to be able to deliver these applications remotely that would be different than if they were on site?
Yeah, and in some ways, this also ties back to the personas, Because if you have defined a persona, so let's say a nurse versus a clinician, or even within clinicians, a neurologist versus a pediatrician, right? So there is probably a difference in the types of applications you need to access and the way you would access it, whether you would do it on-prem inside a hospital within your network, or is it a clinic that you would visit? Or maybe you are that neurologist who gets a call in the middle of the night because there's a patient in the ER, a stroke patient, and you need someone to remotely diagnose that patient. So it kind of comes back to our ability to understand that user, the work profile, and things like what is the level of remote access you need? What applications are you using? Now, when it comes to applications, there is a pretty broad range. There are some applications which are already web-enabled and are delivered as a software as a service. And all you need for that application is a browser. But there are others where you have to have a session-based technology, maybe like a VMware Horizon or a Citrix, to be able to. And most EMRs like Epic and Cerner are based on a session technology. And then there are legacy apps which still requires you to download that application on the device and be able to run it more locally. And so as you think about that application spectrum, and there are different strategies to think about where, you know, your SaaS applications, it needs a central portal, and all you need to ensure is you have a good single sign-on and a authentication portal to validate the user as you give them access to that web app. On the other hand, the Citrix technology and the VMware virtualized apps, again, could be made available through a similar portal. But at the same time, you need to ensure that the endpoint can deliver that session-based experience. You know, you have to worry about things like peripheral attachments. So what if I want to use a barcode scanner or maybe a Nuance dictation mic to work on my EMR and do and transcribe the EMR? How will that work if I'm using a tablet or if I'm using a non-Windows environment that does not support the drivers? So there are many technologies. I think it's a pretty mature field where you could be doing USB pass-through and all the drivers are executed at the back end. But still, it introduces a level of complexity where and that you need to plan for. But coming back to just a brief mention about Dell and the way we looked at, I mean, obviously our environment is probably not as complex as a hospital, but there are certain investments that was made which really positioned us to scale in that remote workforce. Things like the VPN infrastructure, I think that is hugely critical. And a lot of hospitals struggled with that. As soon as you know, their non-clinical workers started working from home, the VPN infrastructure got overburdened. To be able to then plan for it is something very important. And then VPN comes with some of its own challenges, and that's where we generally advise to have a platform that has VPN tunneling built in, right? So that you log into the single unified portal and that has VPN built in, single sign-on built in. That kind of gives a better user experience. And then the last thing I'll mention here is around the edge networking. You know, all of these things is great. You may have the best device, you may have all of the access, but if you do not have a reliable network, then that becomes the bottleneck. And so a lot of organizations are thinking in that direction, like software-defined networking is one of the, you know, areas to look at as you think about it.
And I keep going back to what you said in the previous section around how are we going to support all of this? And you know, it's great if your application is web-enabled and you can deliver that application remotely through a web browser. But what about access to it? What about the single sign-on you know, options that are available? Is that available on your remote workspace? Or do you need a Citrix or a VMware environment where it's all built in and you do it once and you get into it? You know, you highlighted obviously the VPN connection into some sort of remote application as well. You know, the complexity and the number of applications that healthcare organizations have to log into is just enormous. And you know, the most frustrating thing you can give anyone that is working remotely is I can't access the applications I need to. So I think that's such an interesting challenge. But, you know, as we move forward, I think it's clear to everyone that we're going to have to support some remote infrastructure and some remote working, whether that's ongoing and it's just going to last, or whether it's going to be burst because new crises or new challenges or new situations come up that require you to maybe even burst your remote workforce. So, you know, how do you suggest planning on, you know, for this type of thing so that you can really scale to these changing demands and be able to support, at the end of the day, I guess it's business continuity that we're looking to support here for an organization where you're not sure what the future is going to bring. I guess for me, I look at it and say, well, the cloud options are incredible because you can often burst your cloud to support a bunch of remote workforce desktops, whereas you may not need them if they're coming into the office. So I think that's, to me, an interesting example in how to view it. And, you know, part of, you know, creating a good cloud strategy is probably key to being able to scale your remote infrastructure. What do you suggest on that?
Yeah, and that's I think what you're describing is sort of the ideal scenario where you have applications that are cloud ready and that can be scaled on demand and can be remotely accessed over a browser so that the requirement on the endpoint is minimal. Now, in healthcare, what we find is just the legacy nature of the applications and the fact that a lot of these apps are not web-enabled kind of introduces some extra complexity and challenges. And so even if you think about a standard, you know, in an Epic environment, for instance, a lot of customers have Epic on-prem. Now, imagine a situation where you have Epic, the core database and environment is on-prem, but if you have your virtual desktop in the cloud, now you have a remote worker or a clinician trying to access the remote desktop in the cloud, and which then goes and pulls up a session which is in your data center on-prem. So multiple hops, multiple complexity, and imagine doing a pass-through, a USB pass-through for a barcode scanner or any accessory that goes through the cloud on-prem and back. Complexity, right? There's lots of opportunity for things to go wrong, and so that's where it's a step by step approach. If you look at your data center today, what we are finding is you can be agile. I mean, the need for agility is absolutely there. And to your point, cloud makes you agile. There is definitely moving into a more software defined architecture for your data center. Moving into platforms that you can scale incrementally in a more non-disruptive way gives you that agility even though you are still on-prem. So on an application delivery standpoint, we see VDI and we see hyper-converged infrastructure for VDI as something that gives you that ability to scale incrementally as needed. And manage more of that VDI stack centrally. So that's one area where Dell Technologies working with Dell EMC and VMware particularly, we have put a lot of focus on because that's a growing pain point. The complexity across the entire VDI stack, the ability to automate some of those lifecycle management and automate the support structure across that entire stack is critical, and that's where a lot of the projects fail. So we have tried to specifically address those things in the level of automation that exists with the Dell infrastructure and the VMware platforms.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially with the news today coming out of Germany that they had a spike in cases and they're going back to shutdown mode. I think that's just the reality for CIOs today, that they have to be able to plan for the unexpected coming in the future. So Unfortunately, Shishmid, we're out of time now, but thank you for being our guest host, and thanks to all of you who tuned into this episode of Healthcare IT Today. I want to thank Dell Technologies for sponsoring today's episode. You can learn more about Dell Technologies and their remote workforce products at delltechnologies.com/healthcare. Again, that's delltechnologies.com/healthcare. And to find more details about our show, check out the programs page on healthcarenowradio.com. And share your voice and engage with the community at healthcareittoday.com and on Twitter using the hashtag HITESM. I'm John Lynn with my special guest host, Shishmid Pal. Thanks for listening and have a great week.